Representative Will Gazzardi is with us, state rep for the 39th District. Thanks for joining us, Will. So is this going to be introduced tomorrow or Friday or when?
We're just waiting on some technical changes from the bill drafters. As soon as we get those back, we'll have the bill introduced.
And why are you behind this? What do you think this does for people that work in the sex industry?
Well, the most important thing it does is keeps folks safe. There's a terrible epidemic of violence against sex workers in this country. Good data is a little hard to come by because this industry's in the shadows, but there's research that suggests that as many as 75% of sex workers experience sexual violence on the job, and that the murder rate for sex workers is between 10 and 20 times higher than that of the general population. So it's very dangerous. And what we want to do with this bill is bring this work out of the shadows so that sex workers can feel safe at work, can feel comfortable reaching out to law enforcement if they have clients who are violent, and to limit the violence that happens to sex workers.
Representative, can you explain what decriminalization means? Because I think it's a little confusing. We learned back in the day about decriminalizing marijuana didn't make it legal. What does decriminalization mean when it comes to sex workers?
Yeah, so to be clear, we're talking only about adult consensual sex work. So anything that's coercive, anything that involves trafficking, anything that involves minors, that will all still be illegal. But when two adults choose consensually to engage in sexual activity for something, exchanging something of value in return for it, that just won't be a crime. We're not talking about like a sort of legalized Nevada-style like brothel-type setup. We're just talking about allowing people to make personal decisions about their own bodies without government interference.
How about someone who sets it up?
Provided that they're not engaging in coercion or violence or trafficking, forcing people to engage in the sex trade, that will remain illegal. That sort of coercive activity will remain illegal.
And so there are so many questions, because if this bill was to go through, there would be protections for sex workers. Attached to that, I know in many European countries, they demand that those who are legally engaged in sex have annual health checkups and mandate that condoms be used. Is there any of that kind of language, or is it because we're not legalizing it, we're just decriminalizing it, that would be something that would come in the future?
Yeah, I think we believe that the outcomes are going to be just the things you're talking about, that there's going to be increased access to healthcare, increased access to, STI prevention, because people won't be forced to work in the shadows, right? That's the real goal here. So we're not creating like a sort of licensure regime where you have to, get some sort of certification or licensure through the state. Because even in doing that, you still create, there's still sort of an underground world where people who aren't licensed could still be prosecuted or pursued by law enforcement or, unregulated. So we really just want people to be able to make decisions about what they do with their body without the government getting involved.
So could I put a sign up in my window saying sex for $50 and have people come in and have sex with them for $50 and everything's cool?
Yeah, well, advertising for sex work happens all the time, all over the place today. It happens on, online marketplaces and places where, folks reach out to clients. But, of course, they do this at tremendous personal risk, right? And we know that sex workers are mostly low-income. They're mostly black and brown. They're overrepresented. Transgender people are overrepresented in the sex work population. So these are folks who, for whom interactions with law enforcement can be really, at times, dangerous and certainly really disruptive to their lives. So what we want to do is allow people to continue what they're doing today, which, as you say, involves, advertising their work, but without the fear of law enforcement being involved.
By the way, if $50 would be an introductory offer, I know that's very low.
I was like, the line would be long, Steve. So Representative Gazzardi, my hope in any kind of decriminalization or further down the road is that we eliminate sex trafficking. That is the biggest concern.
Yeah.
So whenever a convention comes to town, people flood over the border, sex workers from Wisconsin and Indiana. If it became decriminalized in the state of Illinois, would that build business on those state borders that some people might not be in support of?
Yeah, I think that's you're right to really focus on trafficking, and we take it very seriously. There's a reason why the Freedom Network, which is one of the largest anti-trafficking organizations in the country, is supportive of our legislation. You know, the truth is that the demand for sex is not going anywhere, no matter what laws we might pass on the books. You know, this is going to be an industry that exists no matter what. And so what we want to do is make sure that the people who participate in this industry are safe. And the law enforcement, rather than spending its time going after adult consensual sex, can really focus on the bad guys, on the folks who are coercing, who are trafficking, who are bringing minors into this industry. Like, those are the folks we want law enforcement to really be paying their attention to.
So in 2013, Illinois reduced prostitution convictions from a felony to a Class A misdemeanor, but it's still punishable by a year in jail and $2,500 in fines. If it's decriminalized, does it eliminate that fine and eliminate any threat of?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're intending to do. And I think one thing to know is that after we did that, you know, arrests and convictions for prostitution went way down. They're something like 95% lower than they were back in the early 2010s. So in many ways, in practice, prostitution is largely decriminalized today. Like, law enforcement, they're not going around arresting people for sex work all the time. But the threat of this hanging over people's heads is why folks have to operate in the shadows. It's why they have to meet in unsafe places, why they have to meet with clients who they haven't vetted, why they don't report those clients when they're violent, right? It's because of this threat of potential prosecution and arrest.
So why is it that many of the people who are providing sex seem to be the target of any of those kind of charges and not the people who are buying sex?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think some of that just has to do with who we're talking about, that buyers just tend to be wealthier and whiter, and sex workers tend to be lower income and black and brown. And so when those two populations have encounters with law enforcement, the outcomes are just really different. You know, wealthier individuals have better access to legal protections and attorneys and all that stuff. And so I think that there's a reason why the outcomes are, you know, much more negative often for workers.
Somebody texted in, they said this bill is poorly thought out. Ask people on, I don't know if they said 4th or 5th Avenue, on the West Side, if they like this idea. Dozens of prostitutes walking the street and the alley all day. Sex in cars, condoms everywhere. Prosecution is next to zero already in Cook County, and police can use the threat of arrest to get the women to move along or at least be more private. Their safety is very important, but to take away any threat of arrest and prosecution is a step in the wrong direction. How do you react to that?
Well, I would just say that it seems like the current system, the current regime, isn't working very well. And that if what that person, what I hear from that person's concern is that there are people who are engaging in sex work on the street, in the community, in a way that they find disruptive. And I think that if people could practice this profession in a more safe way, they could also do it in a more discreet way, right? Like, you're talking about advertising, right? People could work from their homes in a way that doesn't require them to be soliciting customers on the street. I also just generally, I guess, fundamentally believe that using the threat of law enforcement engagement to try to get people to change their lives, I just don't think that's a terribly successful tool, right? And I think what the listener wrote in, you know, lends credence to that, that you, the cops might be coming up and down the street all day and saying, hey, move along, move along. But it's not changing anyone's life, right? They're the same folks that are out there on the street the next day. So if the goal is for those people to live their lives differently, then the current way of doing things certainly doesn't seem to be working.
Thank you for joining us. I think if this gets any traction, we'll talk again in the future.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much for having me on.